It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a look at the latest on voter ID and the governor's race. It's our weekly check-in with the news guy.
First, Emily Grassley has a cool job. She's gotten to travel to the bat caves of Kenya, go on safari, dissect animals, and learn what goes into saving the rainforests of Peru. All part of the deal for the chief curiosity correspondent at Chicago's Field Museum of Natural History.
Aside from her adventures behind the scenes at the museum, Emily hosts and writes the Brain Scoop YouTube channel and speaks around the country about science, education, and diversity in the field.
Emily, thanks a lot for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
All right, so let's talk about this job as chief curiosity correspondent. What does a chief curiosity correspondent do?
Oh, man, it's what do I not do? Gosh. Primarily, it's my goal to communicate the work of our researchers here at the Field Museum with a broader audience. So I do that by hosting an educational YouTube show. I utilize social media. I travel around Chicago and all around the United States giving lectures and engaging university classes and just in general talking about the work that we're doing and how it impacts the greater world at large.
And so you also get to just poke around behind the scenes at the Field Museum.
Yeah, there's a lot of that that happens, too.
Well, something that blew my mind is I read that the Field Museum only puts on display 1% of its collection. So literally, if you go to the Field Museum, you're only seeing a tiny portion of what's there. Can you give us a sense of the behind-the-scenes stuff that might be the most mind-blowing?
You know, it's really hard to say, because some of this stuff can be mind-blowing because it's really old. You know, we have ancient Roman bathtubs and oversized anthropology, and some of the time this stuff is mind-blowing just because of the implications of having it here. So you can have cases and cases and rows of ants, and you think, well, what do we need to do with a couple thousand ants? And when you start to talk to people like Corey Moreau, who's our curator of invertebrates and insects, she starts to tell you each one of these ants is a little data point that tells us just a little bit more about climate change and how changing weather patterns can affect the species distribution of ants. So that's kind of mind-blowing. We have Martian meteorites. We have mammals from every continent and nearly every country. And so it becomes overwhelming. I mean, 26 million things is inconceivable for anybody to even consider.
Well, this career you've got, it's not something you necessarily go to college thinking, I'm going to be a chief curiosity correspondent at a museum, but you do advocate that people can take their interests and turn them into passions and careers in the science field. And I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit about how you got this job.
Yeah, this job really is born out of a little bit of luck and a little bit of fortuitous opportunity, but mostly out of passion. I studied art as an undergraduate at the University of Montana, and it wasn't until I was very near to graduating, about 3 months before graduating, that I realized we had a fantastic natural history museum on our campus. And I guess I didn't really realize that we had it because it didn't have any public displays. It was a research collection. And so that made me wonder, well, what do you do with all these dead animals in drawers? What value is it to have 20 squirrels collected from eastern Montana? And then I started to learn the value of these collections and the interdisciplinary potential for utilizing them across not just science, not just wildlife biology, but art and education. And I started to feel as though this collection could use a little bit of publicity, a little bit of outreach. And so I started a blog, which eventually just kind of snowballed into an opportunity when I met somebody who made educational videos for YouTube, Hank Green, happened to live in Missoula, where I was living. And he said, this sounds like an awesome opportunity to have a YouTube channel. And he asked if I would be interested. And that's how we started the Brain Scoop in January of last year.
Well, and now you're doing the Brain Scoop with the Field Museum and the things that you do there. And one of the things is that a surprisingly large number of people like there is dissection and the taxidermy process.
Right.
Why do you think it's so interesting?
I think it does come with a little bit of cultural taboo. You know, it's kind of interesting the way that people in general are disassociated from learning anatomy. And we have a total hands-off approach to science education in public schools to begin with. I mean, I couldn't tell you how many times I turned to a textbook before I turned to a real hands-on object when I was in high school. And so I think that kind of is exaggerated when classes turn to dissections. It's a weird thing for a class to do. It's not weird, but it's not natural. Everything's been preserved in formaldehyde. Everything's kind of rubbery, and there's still something alien about that process. So when we show actual like dissections in our labs at the Field Museum, when we show how a mammologist like Anna Goldman, mammal preparator, goes through and deals with and prepares something that's very clearly a fresh, quote-unquote, specimen, I think people are intrigued. I mean, it's weird. You have this woman who's like elbow deep in an anteater. What's not compelling about that?
And you personally like it. You've done it. And one of the steps I've seen is that at some point beetles are introduced to clean the specimen.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing, too. I mean, it seems otherworldly, you know, like you're some kind of Frankensteinian, you know, weirdo in a lab and you're utilizing beetles to help you do your job. But it's very real. And more importantly, it's very natural. And it's a popular practice to use these beetles. They're called dermestid beetles. And we use them, literally thousands of them, in colonies, and they are flesh eating. They consume muscle tissue off of bones. So they do far more work and far more thorough work than we could do as humans to clean these specimens. It's just, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, as the chief curiosity correspondent, you know, besides the taxidermy, the dissection stuff you get to work on, you also get to travel the world. And I understand you were just in the bat caves of Kenya. What was that like?
Overwhelming. It was amazing. I never in my wildest dreams could have imagined that I'd be in the position to be doing this kind of correspondent work. And it's been overwhelmingly incredible. So we went to Kenya at the beginning of the year, I guess it was 10 months ago at this point, with our curator of mammalogy, Bruce Patterson, who's been working in Kenya for a number of years, actually working all around the globe to better understand bats. And he's working with Kenyan biologists to come up with a bat call library, because you can actually determine the species of a bat based off of the call. And so in order to do that, you have to go and record all these different calls. Where North America has about 45 different species of bats, Kenya has over 104. And that's not even all of them. Not every species has been described. So there's this great need to send more resources, more biologists, to areas like Kenya, because bats have an overwhelming impact on the environment and on human lives, because of the fact that, you know, they can cut down on the disease by eating insects, and they're seed dispersers, so they can improve crops, and they're just so misunderstood in general. So I accompanied Bruce, and we filmed this, and we went literally deep into the bat caves of Kenya.
Fascinating. Well, we're going to hear more about that when we come back. We're talking right now to Emily Grassley. She is the chief curiosity correspondent for the Field Museum in Chicago. She's a science educator. She hosts and stars in the Brain Scoop YouTube channel production. We're talking with Emily Grassley. She is the chief curiosity correspondent for the Field Museum in Chicago. She's a science educator, and she hosts and stars in the Brain Scoop YouTube channel production. And Emily, we left off. You were talking about the bat caves of Kenya, and you're recording the different bat calls there as a means of identification. But I'm just curious, as someone who's never probably going to be in a bat cave in Kenya, what is it like?
What is it like? It smells awful, for one thing. And it smells even before you start to get in there. You know, Bruce, our curator, had this joke that guano is the smell of prosperity for this project, because you can smell it from well before when you get into a cave. So if you have any doubt, are there bats down there? Ultimately, they probably are, if you can smell them. So that's the first inclination, that you have something going on. And then you start to enter the caves, and it's dark and it's overwhelmingly hot. You have insects that are flying in your face. You have insects flying into your mouth and in your nose. And it's loud. It's so deafeningly loud because of the bats. And so it's difficult to walk. It's difficult to see. It's difficult to talk. And in all of this, we're trying to film and I'm trying to channel my inner David Attenborough and try to sink on my feet. And what can I say about this situation when I'm swallowing insects at the same time? It was simultaneously one of the most horrific and most wonderful experiences of my life.
Did you come away with a new appreciation for bats?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, before I even started working at the Field Museum, I don't think I had given much thought to their importance or their diversity. or even, you know, the impact that their populations would have on humans worldwide. And so absolutely, I have a new appreciation and a new appreciation for the work that the scientists there in Kenya are doing to better understand them.
Now, I understand that you're off to Peru this month, maybe in a week or so. What will you be studying there?
Yeah, we're leaving in 8 days. And Tom McNamara, the Brain Scoop's cameraman and production manager, and I are meeting up with our rapid inventory group. So the Field Museum has a conservation group called the Action Center, and it's they totally sound like superheroes, which they are. We're meeting up with them to document the rapid inventory of an area of the Peruvian rainforest. And the reason for doing this is because they go on these expeditions every year. They go to a biologically undocumented region, and we go with a team of anthropologists and biologists of every sort, so people who study plants and birds and insects and reptiles and mammals, and they literally spread out in this small region for about 3 weeks, just documenting everything they see, every plant, every bird call, and in that amount of time, they come out with a lot of notes, which then they, you know, work together over a couple of weeks to come up with a report, which is then presented to local and federal governments in order to set aside that area for conservation.
So, yeah, lots of stuff to think about when you get back from that trip, I'm sure.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And clearly there's a lot of passion here in what you're doing. And this is something you do. You travel and you talk to people about science education. You really want to open museums up to people, introduce them to what's inside. And I wonder, what do you think most people don't get? What don't they understand about what museums are?
I think most people have the idea that these museums are just dead. They're full of dead animals. They're full of dead dinosaurs. And really what a museum is, it's full of life and progress and innovation. And that's something that we kind of struggle with getting across to the wider public, because these are areas of discovery. These are places of great adventure. You have that old kind of idea of adventurers like Teddy Roosevelt going deep into the jungle, and there's this sense of adventure and danger, and that is still happening today. Like, I am going to be experiencing that in a week. I'm going to an area where Google Maps has never been. Like, nobody knows what lives there. Our Action Center has described well over 150 new species of animals just by conducting these inventories, and they do that in 3 weeks.
Wow.
And so it's amazing and it's overwhelming. And I really want to help convey this feeling of empowerment that this planet and this universe and these museums, they belong to us. And these opportunities can be at our fingertips should we pursue them.
Do you think that we're teaching science the right way to kids today? You said before that it's not built to be hands-on. And I guess especially girls. Are we doing what we can to get girls into science?
It's tough to say. I mean, I would say that the large majority of my audience is actually women and young girls. And I kind of also see that because there is a lack of positive female role models in the media, especially those who are science communicators. I mean, I always tell people that my number one science role model as a kid was Miss Frizzle. And I talk about
the magic school bus?
Yeah, school bus. And it's great and she's wonderful. But then after a while, you kind of, you know, have to accept that she's a fictional character. So where's her human equivalent? And I was struggling to find that growing up. So I do think that we are going to continue to lose women and girls in the sciences. They exponentially drop out of programs and the further you go along in their academic career. So while you might have equal numbers of men and women in an undergraduate course, once you start to get to master's programs and PhD programs and tenure tracks and then professional careers, it's typically more men are retained in these fields. And I think that's something that needs to change.
Okay, well, you've got the soapbox right now. What do you want to tell girls about why they should get into science?
Oh, science is awesome. and I really don't want anybody to think that you can't have it all, you know. It's okay to be interested in weird and gross things, and you can also still like fashion and design and music and art. And we shouldn't be having to put this pressure on people to pick one or two things to enjoy and then only enjoy these. I think we need to have well-rounded, supportive groups in order to ensure that we do have stronger retention for girls. So, you know, but it changes with, I mean, we need to have, like, the Lego science set shouldn't be a limited edition. It should be available all the time. Those kind of things need to change.
And anything when we go to the Field Museum that you want us to look at in particular?
I'd have to say our Evolving Planet exhibit is phenomenal in terms of how comprehensive it is to bring people through the history of life on our planet. And I'd also recommend that they check out Restoring Earth, because that is an exhibit devoted entirely to our rabbit inventory group in our Science Action Center, so people can really see the breadth of conservation that the Field Museum is doing.
Emily, thanks so much for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
We've been speaking to Emily Grassley. She is the Chief Curiosity Correspondent for the Field Museum in Chicago. She's a science educator, and you can also catch her hosting and starring in the Brain Scoop YouTube channel production.